Working guitarists can sometimes spend tens of thousands of dollars on their own instruments, but we're going to hear now about a new recording project that demonstrates that you can get a whole lot of mileage out of even the humblest instrument. The $100 Guitar Project began when two friends bought a cheap electric guitar on a whim. They invited some other friends to compose and record an original piece on the instrument, and the project went viral, as NPR's Joel Rose reports.
A few months ago, guitarist Nick Didkovsky arrived at a recording studio in Queens, New York, with a delivery.
Here you go, Buck.
Oh, wow, here it is.
It appears to be an average electric guitar.
Wow.
But over the last 2 years, this instrument has been all over the world on a 30,000-mile odyssey that's taken it from Germany to Hawaii and about a dozen other countries and states in between. More than 60 guitarists have used it to write and record new pieces and signed their names somewhere on the body. Colin Marston was about to be the latest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about all the signatures on here. Let's see if I recognize anybody.
There's a couple good ones.
The list includes some serious heavyweights, like Nels Klein of the band Wilco. Prepared guitar pioneer Fred Frith. And downtown New York composer Elliot Sharp.
We have people who have made the guitar sound like anything but a guitar, and other people have really focused on making it sound like a guitar. And the range of sounds that people have pulled out of this instrument is really quite surprising.
Chuck O'Mara is one of the guitar's co-owners. In fact, you might say he's the one who discovered it. O'Mara and his friend Nick Didkovsky both play. O'Mara lives in New Haven, Connecticut. Didkovsky lives in New York. So they spend a lot of time emailing each other pictures of exotic instruments for sale on the internet, usually very expensive ones.
So one day an email arrives from Chuck, and the subject is entitled very simply, "The Guitar of Your Dreams." And there was a little stamp-sized image attached, a little red, no-name, generic-looking guitar. And it cost $100.
So they chipped in and bought it together. The $100 guitar doesn't look like much. It's got a solid wood body, an old-fashioned metal pickup, and absolutely zero indication of who built it or when. But Didkovsky says there's something captivating about it.
It looked like a guitar you might dream of if you were like 4 years old, you know, or the kind of guitar they would draw in an Archie comic.
The idea of inviting some friends to record with the $100 guitar came from Chuck O'Mara.
Between the two of us, we knew and know a lot of other guitar players who would have been up for some silly idea like this.
So we sent out an email, I think, to maybe three or four of our friends. And this is not an exaggeration. Within 24 hours, we had something like 30 people who wanted to record a track with it. And 24 hours later, we had, you know, another 25. And we didn't even own the guitar yet.
The idea spread by word of mouth through the murky underworld of guitar obsessives. That was October of 2010, and the guitar has been on the road pretty much ever since. This summer, it landed in Colorado, where Janet Fetter got her hands on it. Anyone who asked to participate in the project got the same answer. Yes, that applied whether you were famous or not. And Nick Didkovsky says everybody had to work with the same time limit. 1 week to practice with the guitar, compose a short piece, and record it.
Some of the people on the project confessed to me that when they saw who else was on the project, that it raised their bar. It's like, my God, I'm on the same record as Nels Klein. I've got to do something really good.
But when Didkovsky handed the guitar off in Queens, Colin Marston seemed anything but nervous.
I think everybody is in the same boat with this project. So we're all just kind of like, all right, what the hell do I do with this thing?
In Marston's case, the answer involved recording multiple layers of feedback and sculpting them into a composition. Marston thinks the instrument's inherent, well, lack of quality might have inspired players to try things they normally wouldn't.
Maybe they'd be willing to be a little bit more rough with it or just try some ideas that are less conventional. like, oh, this is just this piece of junk. I can do whatever on this. You know, it has more more open feel to it.
What it reminds me of is that TV show on the Food Channel where they assemble a bunch of chefs. They have a mystery box of slightly cheesy ingredients. And then there's a time factor.
David Starobin is a classical guitarist and teacher who's worked with some of the most important composers of the 20th century. Most of the time he plays acoustic classical guitars, but for this project, Starobin made an exception.
There's 65 of us who have each written pieces with this cheap instrument. The flavor ranges from maybe cheesy to palatable. And yet, all of the players have used their creativity and have come up with, I think, really interesting creations that reflect a lot of what each individual person is about.
Starobin was so impressed with that creativity and enthusiasm that he's planning to release a double album of their pieces on his Bridge Records label next month. The owners of the $100 guitar still don't seem sure exactly why their casual project took on a life of its own. But in the end, Nick Didkovsky says the results say more about the players than they do about the guitar itself.
These people all have very strong personalities. They have very strong artistic visions, and they will speak through whatever you hand them. And they spoke through the $100 guitar.
Proving once again that it's not the instrument, it's what you do with it. Joel Rose, NPR News, New York.
Well, it's not the radio, it's what you do with it. And we are very happy you're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montagne.